Friends, 2 weeks ago I introduced you to a new character in the story of Isaiah. A mysterious character whom you might recall was described as my servant. A servant who came to bring justice, which is good news for the nations, which is good news for the struggling. And we already knew, didn't we, back then? We already knew that the servant of the Lord is Jesus. Ultimately, Jesus. But in the first place, the Lord's servant we saw was Israel, God's people. And we are the servants of the Lord now through faith in Jesus. We bring God's good news to the nations. We bring God's good news to the struggling. We return this morning to the servant and to the second of the songs that he sings. The first song was a song about how the servant brings justice. And the second song is a song of how the servant brings salvation. And what do we learn about the servant who brings salvation? Here's the first thing we see in the text. The servant is a secret agent. The servant is a secret agent. Look at the first verse here in chapter 49 with me. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me, and from my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. And I'm suggesting this morning that we picture the servant as God's secret agent. He's not 007. He has a name, not a number. Although, interestingly, the name isn't actually given, is it? From my mother's... Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. What name? And he doesn't come with a message that will self-destruct in 5 seconds. No, he desires to be known by the ends of the earth. He calls the islands, he calls the distant nations to listen. Hear what I have to say. Let's let the servant speak. And he says, I have a special task given to me by God. I've been set apart even before birth. I was born to complete this mission. I was given an operation code name even while I was still in my mother's womb. That was God's people, in fact. Called by God from before they were a people for God's special mission, to make God's glory known in the world. Here are the words from Exodus 19, words just before the Ten Commandments. God says to his people, out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. While the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That was the special mission that God had for his special people, for Israel, his servant. And so even already at the outset, we can start thinking into this, can't we? For through Jesus, we are all that Israel was meant to be. We, the church, are God's treasured possession. We, the church, are to be God's kingdom. A kingdom of priests and a holy people, a holy nation. We, God's people, have been called by God, chosen in Jesus from before the creation of the world, before we were born. God has spoken our name. He's spoken your name, my name, your name. Child, you are mine. I have called you to be my servant, to be a living sacrifice for me and my purposes in the world, my secret agents to go about this mission that I have prepared for you. In one sense, of course, we could say the mission isn't secret. The mission isn't a secret mission. The Great Commission isn't written in invisible ink and you have to hold it up with an ultraviolet light to be able to see exactly what that secret mission is. But in another sense, you could say that while the mission isn't secret, God's secret agent is God's secret weapon to fulfill that mission. Look at verse 2 in chapter 49. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword, In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. Who is the secret agent? What is the secret weapon? He is a sharpened sword. Not blunt, he's ready for battle, ready to fulfill God's purposes in battle, yet hidden in the shadow of God's hand. He is a polished arrow. The shaft of the arrow smoothed down as smooth as it could be to increase aerodynamic efficiency, so that when this arrow, this very special arrow that's been concealed in the quiver, when this arrow is fired, it might go long and straight and true and hit its target. Yet once again, concealed, hidden away in the quiver. The secret agent is God's secret weapon. His mouth is the secret weapon, which means the words that he speaks. And yet, why is he hiding? Why is he hiding in the shadows? Why all this concealment and secret agent business? Friends, I think what the servant is saying here is this, that he has been prepared for a specific mission. He's not going to be just one soldier fighting in the line of battle. No, there is a high-value target of great military importance for which this polished arrow, the single polished arrow, has been prepared. And he will not waver from that target. And friends, wasn't that exactly the mission of Jesus? He came, as we sing in the Christmas carol, as we'll sing quite shortly, he came with glory veiled, hidden, concealed. Nothing outwardly impressive, a blending into his environment. God's secret agent on a secret mission with a secret weapon. The servant of the Lord coming to bring salvation. And praise God, that is what he did. He didn't fire off the polished arrow at the wrong target. He didn't waste it firing it at Pilate in the line of fire, nor even the religious leaders who wanted him dead and buried. No, he allowed himself to be dead and buried. That is his secret weapon, so that he could fulfill the deeper magic of Narnia, the magic that was from before the dawn of time. That when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, death itself would start working backwards. And so the arrow flew long and true. It struck Satan, the grand villain, taken unawares. He thought that he had outwitted God. He thought that he had frustrated God's plan of salvation, only to find, to his horror, on the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. And so, friends, our greatest enemy has been defeated because the servant resisted the temptations. He resisted the temptations of fame. He resisted the temptations of worldly power. And he stayed true and steady to his mission. Jesus has tied up the strong man and is ready to plunder his house. And so we rejoice in God's secret agent this morning. But we rejoice not only in who he is. We've also got a second reason for rejoicing this morning, and that is the grand mission that God set for a secret agent. And in verse 5, we get part of the mission to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. That's the servant's mission of salvation. And if that were all there were to see, if that were all there was for the servant to do and to be, then so be it. But there's more. In the very next verse, we carry on in verse 6. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Isn't that great? It is too small a thing to restore the tribes of Jacob who've gone into exile. It is too small a thing to bring them back to the promised land. I think what God is saying is something like this. My secret agent has supernatural power. You see, bringing the exiles back from their exile back to the land of Israel, that's a little bit like, you know, you go caving one day and you find a lantern there in the back of a cave and you rub the lantern and what pops out, kids? A genie pops out. Of course a genie pops out. A genie pops out of this lantern and the genie promises you anything you can wish for, one wish. Some genies give three. My genie's just giving one wish. One wish. Anything you might wish for. You say, wow, I'm feeling really thirsty in the back of this cave. Maybe a can of Coke. Or I'm feeling right hungry. Can I have a chocolate bar? That's exactly what I'd like. Well, you know, the genie's going to give you that. That's how genies work. They give you what you asked for. You'll get what you asked for, but what a waste. You could have asked for anything. Why would you waste your one wish on a can of Coke? So small, so easy to accomplish. And that's what I think God is saying here in Isaiah. My secret agent has supernatural power. He could bring the exiles back with his little finger. He could bring the exiles back if we got some nail clippers and just clipped off some of the nail. Just with the nail clippings, he could do that. That's how easy that is. That's a walk in the park to bring the exiles back. No, I have prepared him for a much grander mission. I want him to win the world. In the words of Psalm 2, I want him to ask me for the nations as his inheritance and the ends of the earth as his possession. I want my servant to accomplish the covenant promises I made to Abraham. All people on earth will be blessed through you. I want him to make disciples of all nations. Oh, what a grand mission. Light for the Gentiles. Blessing for us. That's why Jesus came, as we read before in Luke's gospel. Simeon took the child Jesus in his arms and spoke of how seeing Jesus, he had seen the Lord's salvation. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel, Simeon said. See, Jesus came not just to save ethnic Israel. He came to save the world. He came to bring light to the spiritually blind the world over. Light for you, light to open your eyes, that you might see as if you were seeing for the very first time. See both your sin, firstly, but then even far more clearly in the light of that, see the light of the Savior. And then to reflect and shine the light of the Savior to the nations ourselves. See, this grand mission that was given to the servant, given to Jesus, has been given to us by the servant, by Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven. And so we could say this morning, we could say, it is too small a thing for you, Toowoomba Christian Reformed Church, to be hope and salvation only to those who belong. No, I will make you a light for the nations. That's the scope of what God is doing in Jesus. Friends, as 2019 begins to draw to a close, it's good for us sometimes to reflect back on where we've come from, what we've done. And as I look back on this year, I I see the opportunities that we have had as a church to be a part of this grand mission that God has given to his people. They've been hard to believe. We've shared a simple gospel message with more than 40 men from northern Iraq and Syria. More than a dozen came to watch the gospel and the Jesus film that we showed here in our church just a month or two ago. Our craft group with Marlene and I, we answered many questions that the ladies had about God that they put to us. We were able to share in Life Explored with three people who don't regularly come to our church. We've got Glenvale Carols in just 2 weeks' time, and there are indications, I don't know, I reckon we're going to have at least twice as many people there as we had last year. An opportunity to share the gospel with our community. And if you had asked me at the beginning of this year, if you had asked me whether this was possible, I think I would have laughed like Sarah laughed. And now I laugh, but I laugh with joy. I laugh at joy at what God has done, what God is doing, what God is giving us opportunity to do. And it's such a good and glorious thing. And you know, friends, that is only the organized tip of the iceberg. I've been so encouraged hearing so many of you share with me how you've been having gospel conversations with people at work and those who live alongside you, the people your close friends, your neighbors. And like me, many of you find this hard. You find it difficult. It is. I don't find that easy either. But I've been trying to grow in that, and I know many of you have been trying to grow in that as well. And God has given you some great opportunities. You've told me about them. The opportunities that you've had to share the message of the servant who brings salvation. And we ought to say all praise to God. And we can celebrate. We should celebrate. When we look back over the year, we're humbled. We're nobodies. We're nothing special. We have our struggles. But God has been pleased to use us. He's been pleased to use us to make us a light to the Gentiles, that his salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And friends, that is good, that is glorious. It's gloriously good. And that shouldn't surprise us either, because we serve a glorious God. Let's join the song ourselves in verse 13. Shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth, burst into song, you mountains. Why? For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. And yet sometimes it's easy to feel forsaken and forgotten, as God's people cried in verse 14. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me, they cried. It's easy to dwell on your limitations, to dwell on your struggles, to dwell on your weaknesses. It's easy for our circumstances at times to drown out this jubilant praise chorus that the servant brings. Now God encourages us this morning with this promise in the words of 15. I will not forget you. But how can I know that's true? It's just five words. How can I know that this is true? What assurance can I have that the Lord will not forget me? And look at the very next verse. God says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Look at my hand, says the Lord. I have engraved my people on my hands. I will not forget you. Look at my hand, says Jesus. Look at my hands. Look at the evidence. Look at my wounds. The wounds which mar the chosen one, which bring many sons to glory. I'm a God who cares for you. I'm a God who loves you. Friends, he's a glorious God. He gave his life for us. He's a glorious God who, in the words of verse 26 at the end of the chapter, he wants all the world to know that he is Savior, Redeemer, and mighty to save. He's the secret agent born in Bethlehem, a grand mission executed on the cross for our salvation because of his infinite compassion and unending love. A glorious God, a God worthy of all praise. And so this morning, through faith in Jesus, Isaiah says to you, behold your God. Let's pray.